digging through the depths.
Good morning, lifers. Glad you joined us today. And we are in part two of our four-part series on Faith Works Finances. Last week, we talked about the heart, why God cares about our money. And we learned so many things about the depth of what money can do in us and through us if we allow God to have full control of that. We learned that over 25% of Jesus' teaching in the Gospels had to do with wealth or possessions or money, because God knows that where our treasure is, our heart is. And now it takes faith to manage our money in the way God has designed for us. So today I want to talk to you about the money lie. The money lie. Why money does not guarantee happiness or success. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We'll be getting to that passage in just a moment. Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. We'll get there just momentarily. But I'm just glad you're with us. I'm glad you've tuned in. And hopefully these messages will just sink deep inside and you'll find your life becoming transformed. There is nothing that to me is easier than trusting God with our finances, because He promised us that if we trust Him, He'll cause our finances to be healthy and to be abundant so that we can serve other people with them. And it's just one of those things. God, it's not a struggle for Him. It's a struggle for us to put the faith to trusting Him. But you know, all the time, there are just lies that are surrounding this whole topic of money. And one of them is that it will supply happiness and security for you. Now, I know there's lots of lies in our culture, lots of lies that we tell ourselves. Some of the lies that we tell ourselves or tell other people without even thinking about it. Maybe a lie that is, I never got the message. Or, yes, I'm on my way. Or, that baby is so beautiful. Except for, of course, when they're my grandkids, and of course, they're perfect. Or, let's have lunch sometime. Or here's one that I get periodically, and I have no idea why. Sandra and I just had an anniversary, so I posted an old pic from our dating years, or actually from our honeymoon. And somebody actually posted, 35 years later, wow, you haven't changed a bit. And I looked at that picture, and I looked at my face. I said, you need some help, person that just said that. And there was another lifer that was a little bit more honest and wrote privately, said, oh, your wife looks great, but Pastor, you've changed a lot. So at least he's telling me the truth. We tell lies all the time. One of the best and favorite lies is, I read and agree to the terms and conditions of this service. How many ever read that before they check the box? It's a lie. Well, some of the lies we tell are a bit more personal. I can quit anytime I want. Or I'm not good enough. Or no one loves me. I don't need anyone else. Those are a bit more personal, a bit more heavy, but they're still lies. Because God does love us. You are valuable. And He wants the best for us. Therefore, we cannot listen to the lies of the world when it comes to money and when it comes to our possessions. John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and He says, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. And you see, it's so important that we see life and everything that is involved with life in the context of God's kingdom. You see, God made everything. He made the way everything works. And if we do it His way, what do you know? It does work. It doesn't take, I don't think, an incredibly intelligent person to look at the world and culture today and realize, with all the chaos and all the pain and all the problems, that we must not be doing something right. But God says there is a way to live life. There is a way to do it right. And it's no different with money. That money can be a powerful tool, a powerful ally in our lives, if we'll use it in the way the kingdom, in the way God has directed us to use it. It doesn't need to be a stumbling block for us. If we do life any other way than what God has told us to do, the way the designer designed it, we're going to end up breaking things, breaking ourselves, and breaking others. And isn't that the way the world looks right now? With a bunch of broken people, angry, upset, frustrated, just looking for somebody, something else to break because there's just, it's just crazy. So let me just start with this topic sentence. The faith work in your finances is seeing money from God's higher perspective with a greater clarity about possessions that can only come from God. That's our work when it comes to finances. We've got to see the management of our finances from God's perspective. So with that, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Let's understand what he's saying to us from this passage, starting in verse 13, reading until verse 21. Jesus is talking to a large crowd of people, and this situation occurs. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus of grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you.' Then he will get up. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Powerful, powerful statement. Now understand, this whole conversation starts because Jesus is amongst a bunch of people and somebody in the crowd shouts out, just randomly, "Teacher, make my brother share the inheritance with me." Now, it wasn't uncommon in that day for people to go to a rabbi and to ask him to make a decision between people who had disputes with one another. And apparently there's a dispute between two brothers about an inheritance. Now, Jesus doesn't take the bait in this thing. Instead, he turns it and makes it a teachable moment. And Jesus refuses, you know, just to go into it with this guy, but I can hear him almost thinking to himself, you know, maybe there's something more important than the inheritance. Maybe your relationship with your brother is really the more important thing. That you're looking, sir, to the wrong thing to give you life. Jesus is always awesome about reading between the lines in somebody's statements. He says, you're wanting him to give you money because you think you're missing out if you don't get the money. And Jesus is saying, listen, it's not about that. It's not about what you can get. And he goes on to then explain in this parable. He says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, isn't that a radical statement for today? A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. That's nothing like our culture today. Our culture today, if there's a word that could define at least an American culture today, it's a four-letter word. It's a simple word, the word more. More. More power, more fame, more prestige, more likes, followers, more popularity, more money, more, more, more. And it's an insatiable desire. If you get, you know, 100 likes, you want 200. If you get 200, you want 500. There's always more. If I have 100,000, I want 500,000. If I have 500,000, I want 1,000,000. If I have 1,000,000, I want 1,000,000,000. There's just, it's never ending. More, more, more. When is too much too much? In our culture, I don't even think there is a definition of too much. Because whatever we have, we think just a little bit more will make us happy. And then we die. And Jesus said, you fool. You didn't even know that tonight your life would be called from you. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up for himself, but is not rich toward God. An insatiable desire while you're on earth, and then a sudden shock when you die. That all that you had done chasing wealth didn't matter. The money lie is this: money equals security and happiness. That's the lie. And if you're believing that lie today, if you're in that trap of more, 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 oh, if I just had a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little extra here, a little extra there. Now, don't get me wrong. That money can provide some freedoms. Money can provide some comforts. But it will never satisfy the hunger of more. And God says, when we use money as a tool, then it can be a great ally to us. Let's look at some more of these lies today. Number one, having money will guarantee that I'll have a great life. That's a lie. Having money will guarantee that I will have a great life. Jesus said this, verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. Here's what Job in chapter 36 of Job says. Be careful that no one entices you by riches. Do not let a large bribe turn you aside. Would your wealth or even all your mighty efforts sustain you so that you would not be in distress? Look at that passage. What does Job say? Job says you can have more money, but it won't relieve your stress. Now, I've talked to some people with a lot of money. You know what they'll say? It doesn't relieve your stress. Matter of fact, most often it creates more stress because now you've got more to manage, more to deal with, and more to lose. The amount of money actually increases the stress in life. Here's what another rich person said. The richest person who ever lived on the earth, a man named Solomon. He writes about his journey in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. Here's what he said. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs of water or reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born into my house. I owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me, and I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers, and I had a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. How many would say that sounds pretty good? I'd kind of like a piece of that. I'd like a little more here, a little more there. Maybe not as much as him. I don't need that much, but how about a little bit more? Well, here's what Solomon said. Then I looked at all I had, and it was meaningless. Didn't matter. Why? Because there's a lie that says money will guarantee you have a great life. It won't. You see, in God's kingdom, God has equalized the ability to have the abundant life. In other words, you don't have to work really hard to get it or you know, get the best job or go to the right college or have the biggest income to have the abundant life. Now, wouldn't that be really unfair if you had to have a certain amount of money to have the abundant life? No, God says all of us can have the abundant life. It's available to everybody, rich, poor, slave, free, doesn't matter. All of us can have that. And it's as close as the person of Jesus Christ himself. He's equalized it. So there are no haves and have-nots. We can all partake in the abundant life. Instead of his kingdom, or instead in his kingdom, we all can enjoy it. Everybody can enjoy a laugh until your face hurts. Everybody can love so deeply that it almost is a pain in the stomach. Everybody can walk with someone and say nothing, but know that this communication is so sweet and intimate. Everybody can hold a baby in their arms and feel the weight of love in your chest. Everybody can have a conversation with a person and know that you've got a best friend for life. Everybody can look to God and say, God, you are my God. You're my good father. Everybody. Because you see, that's the way to abundant life. To get caught in the lie that it requires money, it's a dangerous place. And it's a painful, sorrowful place because it's a lie. Money does not guarantee that you'll have an abundant life. Well, number two lie. My wealth is the result of what I've done. It's all mine to preserve and protect. I worked for it. I'm a self-made man. I put in the hours. I went to school. I got the job. It's me. It's me. It's all me. I've done this. It's all about me. It's a lie. It's a lie. We've got to acknowledge that it is our God who's given us this ability. In verse 16 and 17, in the parable, Jesus said this, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Now, you followed what was just said there? And Jesus says what he says for a reason. Many of us have this problem. I've got so much, I don't know where I'm going to put everything that I have. Isn't that a great problem? Wouldn't you like to have that problem? I don't know what to do with all my money. I don't know what to do with all the things I have. There's not enough garages to store all my cars. There's the closets too small to store all my clothes. I need more banks. I've got to get an overseas account because it's just, I got too much money. Here's the problem. In the parable, God made the ground. The ground gave the crops and the man took the credit. That's the problem. Look what I have. Look what I've got. Look at my crops. And Jesus said, well, the ground gave them. God made the ground. He watered them. Isn't there someone else you ought to thank in this whole scenario? Isn't there somebody else kind of involved in the situation? This question is the key question for all of us, no matter what we have or don't have. And that question is this. What am I going to do with what God has given me? Either I can thank God for it and use it consistent with his heart, or I can make it my God and my security. That's your choice. Thank you, God, for what you've given. Now I'll use it for your glory. Or it's mine and I'll pursue more. You see, God made everything. He made you. Who made your brain? Who made your will? Who made your body? He's the one who's given you the ability, if you have much today, to have it. It's all about him and his glory. Matthew 6:24 is the verse that Toby read in the beginning of service. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Here are a couple of truths that will help us through this. Number one, money's not evil. Money's not evil. It's neutral. Nothing good or bad about money. The problem isn't with the crops in the parable. The problem isn't with the crops. The problem is with the man thinking the crops belong to him and that those crops were going to give him security, safety, and a long, happy, and restful, peaceful life. It's a lie. The thing itself wasn't the problem. We got to turn back to the book of Exodus, and we see this playing out really, really vividly in the whole scenario when Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, and he took a long time, 40 days coming down. And the people got restless, and they got upset, and it says, and when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow, Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So the first thing that happened was, we need to get control. We need to make another God. Because the God that we thought we had is nowhere to be seen. And the one who was our go-between between God, he's vanished too. So we're left up to our own devices. We've got to do what we've got to do. Well, the follow-up to that is that they made then money the idol. Turning money into an idol is the evil thing, not the money itself. And here's what happened next. This is Exodus 32, 1-4, by the way. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then he said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Israel or out of Egypt. Notice it was the heart that was bad to begin with. And because the heart was bad, they turned money into an idol. And that's the thing. Money itself is not the problem. The problem is our heart that will take money and make it an idol for us to worship. And that happens every day. It might even be happening in your life if you're managing money improperly and if you've got that insatiable desire for more, or if you think that if you just had more, you'd be happier. The fact is it's a lie. All of that is untrue. If you serve God, money is your servant. If you serve money, you will not be devoted to God. That's a fact. If you serve God, put Him first, then money will serve you. You'll use it to glorify His name, to build His kingdom. God will pour money back into your life because He's found a good conduit by which He can build His kingdom through you. You know, I know this for the truth, that Abundant Life is a very, very, very healthy church. You know why? Because we're a generous church, and God has found a group of people who He can pour in because they'll pour out. We're going to talk about generosity next week. Don't miss next week. But when you're God's servant, money is your servant. But when money's your God, then it's your master. And it's an insatiable desire. It's an insatiable chase. Exodus chapter 5, verse 10 says this: whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. If you love it, you'll never be satisfied. There's a Roman proverb that went this way: money is like salt water. The more a man drinks, the thirstier he becomes. And that's a truth. Let's look at some truth about money. Number one, money is a means to an end, not the end in itself. Money is a means to an end, not the end in itself. Verse 18 and 19 of the parable. Then the man said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll go to my..." Goodness. "And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." This is what I'll do. The man made a decision. The wrong one, but he made a decision. The decision was this: it's about me. It's mine. It's what I'll do with mine. It's how what's mine is going to make me happy. And it's what's mine is going to set me up for the future. And I'll have no worries. Wrong decision, believing the lie. He made his life about the wealth instead of glorifying God with it. I'm set. I'll still be around for a long time. Oh, the money's taking care of me. Build bigger barns. Eat, drink, be merry. Take life easy. Proverbs 11:4 says this: "Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." You see, because there's a day coming when life will be no more, then what good is the money then? Better to have used the money so that when that day comes, you can go into eternity with joy and with glory. Number two, there's only one true security, and that's God. Verse 20, Jesus says to him, "But God said, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you.'" You see, this man never saw his life in the context of eternity. He never saw beyond these days. There's a story of a young man, an ambitious man, and an older wise man talking together. And the young man said, "I think I'm going to go learn a trade." And the older, wiser man said, "And then what?" And the young man said, "Well, then I'll build up a business." And the older man said, "And then what?" "Well, then I'll make my fortune." "And then?" "And then I suppose that I'll grow old and I'll retire and live on all the money I've made." "And then?" "Then I suppose that I will die." "And then?" "And then?" See, this is the question. Church, hear me now. "And then? What good is storing up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can eat away and where thieves can break in and steal? Better to store up for yourselves where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." There's going to be a day of reckoning. And Jesus said, "You fool, don't you know that this very night your life will be demanded of you. And then the man never remembers that there's another world after this. And there's a lot of people storing up for themselves, storing up riches, storing up power, storing up prestige, storing up fame, holding it under control, not knowing that all of that is gone. When that day of, and then, comes. And it comes for everybody. What happens when the king calls you home? What happens to all the money? What happens to all the plans? You might be saying, well, is Jesus saying don't prepare for the future? No, he's saying the exact opposite. He's saying prepare for the future. Yes, be a good steward while you're on earth, but there's a bigger future. This earth lasts just a few years, and then there's an eternity. Prepare for the future. Use the wealth that God has given you. That will affect eternity, not just today. James chapter 4, verse 13 to 17 says this, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and such boasting is evil. When you look to anything other than God for your security, you turn that thing into your God. Our life is a mist. Here in the morning, gone by noon. Folks, what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we storing up in our barns? I'll have enough then. I'll have enough then. I'll have enough then. Then I'll take life easy. Really? Better. Better to not believe the lie and to store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Glorify God's kingdom while on earth because life is so short. Decide today how your money's going to be spent. Decide today. Here's what Jesus says, verse 20 and 21. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Here's what I know. We're all going to meet him someday. Every single one of us. If you're listening right now and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to warn you. This is not a threat. This is a warning. I don't threaten because I'm not the judge. But Jesus Christ came to earth. He came to show us a way. The designer of everything that is, the creator of the ends of the universe, of all the galaxies, and of the way this earth works, he said there's a way to live. And that way to live is to follow me, to follow the designer, follow the creator. Do as I show you. Let me guide you and direct you through this life. And when you do that, you'll have abundant life. And after this life is over, you'll have an eternity in the kingdom of God that we call heaven. It's not a pipe dream. It's reality. That heaven is more real than this earth is today because it was before this earth and it will be after this earth. This earth is passing away. What are you doing with that decision? It needs to be made. Will you or will you not turn your life over to Jesus Christ? Don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn today. And don't buy into the lie of, well, but what about the money? What about my comfort now? What about my place in society now? What about my upward mobility now? Don't be a fool when your life is demanded from you this very night. Instead, we can live a life of peace and joy and just confidence because we know that our hope is not built on the things of this earth. Our hope is built in the blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. And he came to this earth and he showed us the way to do it. by living a life free of those entanglements and actually going to a cross, sacrificing his life so that we could have life with him. I hope and pray you'll make that decision today. And it's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, I want you. I'm going to put aside all these things that tempt me in the world. I know they won't bring joy. I know they won't bring happiness. I know it's an endless, insatiable pursuit. I want you, and I want to follow you. And you know what you'll find? You'll find the abundant life. It won't be an easy life. There's as many pitfalls and turns and struggles, but you do them with God and the peace of God, not without God, wondering what's going on. It's a joy to go through struggles. Now, it's still hard, but it's a joy to know that, God, I'm in this, but you're going to bring me through. What a sad thing to go through the same struggles but have no God to trust and no hope for what's next. Bottom line is, you can be rich. God's not against riches. God's against the one who pursues riches as their God. Let's not believe the lie that this world gives us and the lie that can be placed on money. Instead, let's be rich toward God. And you can be rich toward God whether you have little or more. When you give to God whatever it is you've got, your money, your time, your talents, let's be rich toward God. You can do that today. Everyone dies. How you live is what matters. The question is, are you living your life rich toward God? Or are you living your life storing up for yourself? I hope and pray that you'll live your life free of the entanglements of all this world has to offer, because they're snares and they're a trap. But instead, trust God with everything. I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that God would free you. And when I pray this prayer, I'm praying for me too. I'm a man who struggles like anybody else. I'm going to pray that God would free us from this notion of more. And instead, we say, God, you are all I need. And when God's all we need, then we have everything for abundant life now and eternity in glory in heaven. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I ask in your precious name to help us today. Help us to understand the lie of and the snares that this world has attached to money. God, I'm so thankful for wealthy Christians who know how to use the tool of money to glorify you and to advance your kingdom. Father, I wish all of us could be wealthy that way. But Lord, you don't demand that, or you don't require that we be wealthy to have an abundant life, for you've given us all the ability to have an abundant life. It's found in you. I pray in Jesus' name that you would set us free this morning from the entanglements of wealth. And I pray, Lord, if there are any out there that do not know you as their Savior, Father, in Jesus' name, that they today, right where they are, maybe it's in a living room or in a cafe or in a coffee shop or in their car, wherever they might be, that right now they would say a prayer, something like this: Lord Jesus, I'm trapped. I'm trapped in something that I know that if my life were demanded from me tonight, I would not see you, that instead I'd be lost without you. Today I make a decision to make you my God, not the pursuits of this world. I want to follow you from this day forward. Lord, I give you the praise today for all those that are making this decision. We love you and give you the glory. Amen. If you made that decision today and prayed that prayer, on the website in the connection card section, very at the top left, as you look at the website homepage, it says connection and prayer. Go there, fill out that connection card, and just write in the box, today I made a decision to follow Christ. And we'll be very quick to get back with you and to show you what your next steps should be. Okay? Folks, let's not forget to pray for all of those that are struggling in the fire zones. Pastor Sean already prayed. But let's pray, and I'll be working to let you know if you want to donate or want to help in any way. I'll let you know some resources that can be made available to you. We'll do that by email this week, so make sure you watch out for your email. Well, let's close today with our closing verse, Revelation chapter 1, 5, and 6. And let's say this verse together, okay, wherever you are, let's say it out loud. Repeat the verse with me, would you? To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of and priests to serve his God, to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Love you all. See you next week.